Good morning, church family, and grace to all of you. Last week, Pastor Mike mentioned something that I think we all can relate to, that God brings us all different places for his purpose at the right time. I know Lori and I have felt that way so much over the years with the wonderful people that we've met, which brings me up to Pastor Rusty. A little over 3 months ago to 4 months ago, I got a call from Dave Reaver's office, and he asked me to go through his training again. So I guess I needed some remedial training. I was wondering why, so he wanted to run me through it again. So I went through it, and I had the honor of meeting Rusty and his wife, Tish. I also learned a lot more. They ran each morning. They would open us up with a prayer session and song and worship for all the warriors that I was honored to be with. And I thought, oh my gosh, this guy can sing. He can play the bass. And his wife plays the keyboards, and who knows what else she plays. So they're very musically talented as well. And as I was taking this all in, I listened to his message, and I was very moved by the things that he said and how he said it. This man's got the voice of experience. So when we had our deacons meeting, and we were coming up with praying about who should we ask to come up here to fill this pulpit while we're in our search for our new pastor, I thought, I've got just the guy. So Rusty is here today, and they have a lot to offer, and I'm excited to hear his message and hopefully a lot more in the future. And hopefully they will someday maybe be led to by the Lord to make this their home church. Rusty?
Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be here and to be worshiping the Lord with you. And as we think about Christmas, Jesus Christ, God made flesh, dwelling among men. Have any of you had the same problem as me, fully God and fully man at the same time? That just blows my mind. Yet, it's a miracle that took place so that God could dwell among us. Jesus Christ, as we give gifts this Christmas, how many of you know Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that was ever given? Amen? And so this morning, I want to talk about the gift of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about what it means in us and in our lives and the gifts that follow. Maybe I'm the only one. When I was little, and by the way, I retired from pastoring, what's it been, about a year and 4 months, something like that? I've only gotten to preach a couple times, so you're in for it, okay? But when I was a kid growing up, it was something that my mom would always buy. She'd go out, she had so much money to spend, and she would buy me more of the inexpensive stuff, so I had a whole lot of things. So at Christmas, I had, you know what it is. all these little matchbox cars and everything. Man, I was loaded, and I knew once it started, you know, once that first gift, you remember waking up Christmas morning, and it's like, oh, you got to wake everybody else up because we got to get to the tree and there's presents, and once you open that first gift, there's more to come, right? And that's what salvation is. As we receive the gift of salvation, let me tell you something, there's more to come. And let me ask you to start off with, do you know what is necessary to be saved? Do you know what? Let me take a look at, if you look in the book of Revelation, there's now Revelation is prophetic, talking about the future, but for those, and I hope that everybody here is ready to spend eternity with the Father in heaven. If you're not, before we end this service, you need to find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because it's a gift for you this Christmas. But in Revelation, prophetically speaking about what's going to take place, it's talking about us in the future. And the question is asked, how did they get here? How did those people that are in heaven with God for eternity, how did they get here? And Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the enemy of their soul by the blood of the Lamb. How many of you know the blood of Jesus Christ? Without it, we can't be saved. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. Did you know your testimony is an important part of your salvation? Letting people know. It's not enough to be saved. It's not enough to know that you know that you know. It's not enough to go to heaven. But how many of you know God wants us to take people with us? And we take people with us by telling our stories. The fact is, your testimony is vital. Now, I just want to take a short period of time here to give a quick glimpse of my testimony. Tish told you about how we got into ministry and different things. When we were in ministry, we were, the last years of our ministry in Ohio, we were at a church we'd been at for 18 years. I had been elected to be what's called a presbyter in the Assemblies of God. I was in charge of churches on around the east side of Columbus, out into the country. And I ministered to the ministers. I loved it. We were living in a home that had been our dream home. It was an old farmhouse built in 1892, and I just loved living in that house. My son and his daughter lived just 2 hours away. My daughter and son-in-law and my grandbaby, who is it, lived just an hour away. By the way, I'm Pappy, so everything, I mean, it was going good. And we went to West Virginia on vacation, which we loved to do, and we were camping, and we're enjoying the beautiful countryside there. And my wife, Tish, looks at me, and she says, I love this place. I just love to live here. Has your wife ever said something that ticks you off? And I thought, what? I'm happy right where I'm at. And I said, you'd leave Ohio? And she didn't take a breath. She said, yeah. And I started praying about her, not for her. God, this woman you've given me, what's the deal? And the Lord spoke to my heart as clear as a bell, and he said, what would it take for you to leave Ohio? And as we live here for a while, you'll get to know me a little bit better. I'm kind of a smart aleck sometimes. I've got a different sense of humor, and I thought, God, who created everything, is asking me what I would want to leave Ohio. So I thought, I'm not going to make this little. And first thing I said was, I'll get back to you. And I thought about it and I prayed about it. Finally, I came to a point saying, God, what I would want would be a big piece of property. And on that property, I would want a place where people could come and I could minister to them for more than just a day or two. And I'd like to be able to have at least, you know, 20, 30 people come that we could minister to. And then all at once, God reminded me, how many of you like to eat? Oh, yeah, God, I want to eat. I need a salary, too. And I was waiting on this big, moment for the angels sing. And God said, kind of spoke to my heart, said, okay. And long story short, I'm at Eagle Summit Ranch with my wife. We're 200 acres of property. We can house 30 or more people, and I get a salary. I get paid to do this. It's a wonderful thing. And let me tell you something. God is on the throne, and he gives good gifts to his children. The scripture says, man being evil desires to give good gifts to his children. How much more does our Father in heaven desire to give good gifts to us? So this morning, I want you to understand that God has good gifts for you. My testimony, I love my testimony, but you've got a testimony, you've got a story, and there's more to come. You've just opened the first few presents. If you look with me in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, one of my life verses. I love this verse. It says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for calamity, but to give you a future with hope. Let me tell you, God has a plan for you. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan for you. If they didn't tell you, God has a plan for you, okay? God has a plan for you. And let me tell you something. God's plan is perfect. Trust me in this. God's plan is perfect. The only obstacle to God's plan, I saw some lips moving. Yeah, me. God has given us an incredible gift on top of salvation that sometimes can be a curse. It's called free will. God has made, think about this. God spoke, and I believe when God said, "Let there be light," the words that came out of his mouth became the light itself. God's words created. And let me, this isn't in my notes, but let me tell you something. Your words create things. When you speak life, you look at a child and say, "You are incredible." You're speaking life into that child. When you look at a child and say, "You are a problem," you're speaking death into that child. When you look at your own life and you say, I'm worthless, you've just spoken death into your life. But when you say, "I am a child of the King," you've spoken life into you. Start speaking life. Because the God who created everything created it all by the spoken word. Romans, that's not in my notes either. I'll get back to my sermon. Just give me a minute. Romans says, he who spoke, he spoke that which was not as though it was, and it became. It became. And so this morning, I want us to take hold of the fact that God has spoken these things into our lives. We have free will, but God's plan is still perfect. Other people can have free will, and they can change the plan for... Anybody had the plans for your life changed because of someone else's decisions? Do you know what? God's plan supersedes that, and he's got plan B and plan C and plan D, and it all comes back to where he wants you to be because God's plan is perfect. With that in mind, let's look at Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good. Even when someone else practices free will and changes things, God is still at it. Even when we make a mistake, God is still there. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now let me ask you, let's apply this scripture to our lives. How many of you here love God? Ooh. And you're here this morning because you want to know more about his purpose for your life, so you love God and you're called according to his purpose. So that qualification is taken care of. Let's go to that opening part. We know that all things work together for good. I want to go to a better translation. It says, God is working. I want that to soak in. God is. Present tense. Yesterday, God is working. Today, God is working. Tomorrow, God is working. God is working. And I want you to take a hold of that fact. Part of the gift of salvation follows the fact that God is working, present tense, for you. Wow. Now with that in mind, the fact that God has a plan for us, he's working. I want us to take a look at an Old Testament story, the story of Abraham and Sarah, and the fact that God made them a promise for a gift. Yes, at Christmas time, we're still talking about gifts. God had an incredible gift for them. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, we're going to be reading. And it says, the Lord said to Abraham, or Abram, let me get this straight. Before he was Abraham, he was Abram. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your family, and your relatives, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. You will become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. And we need to remember this right now with what's going on in the Middle East. I will bless them, those that bless you, and I will put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on the earth will be blessed because of you. So he makes him that promise. Then he goes on and wants to make a name change in chapter 17. Genesis 17 verse 1 says, when Abraham was 99 years old, can you imagine that? 99. Some of you might have been doing the math as Tish was giving the dates. Okay, I'm 61. Yesterday, we walked out of the ranch, and we were walking into the ranch, and I didn't notice that you guys have a lot of clear ice around here. And I did a dance like nobody's business, and she thinks it's funny when I dance. I did a dance, and you know what? This morning, I felt things that I haven't felt for a while. I'm 61. I can't imagine 99. When he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him again and said, I am God, all-powerful. If you obey me, now this is, man, there's so much richness in this scripture right here. I am God, all-powerful, if you obey me. I could stop right there, and that's a sermon in itself. If you obey me and always do right, I will keep my solemn promise to you and give you more descendants than can be counted. Abram bowed with his face to the ground, and God said, I promise that you will be the father of many nations. So now I'm changing your name. Oh, can you imagine? He had the name of Abram, exalted father. Can you imagine being called exalted father and you got no kids and you're 99? He said, I'm going to change your name. And I bet you Abraham was thinking, yes. He said, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham means father of nations. He says, I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. I will give you a lot of descendants and they will become great nations. Some of them will even be kings. Verse 7 says, I will always keep the promise I have made to you and your descendants because I am your God and their God. So God changed his name from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham, father of nations. And then in verse 15, Abraham, from now on, your wife's name will be Sarah instead of Sarai. I will bless her, and you will have a son by her. She will become the mother of nations, and some of her descendants will even be kings. Sarai means princess. Sarah means lady, princess, and princess of the multitudes. God changed their names. Listen to me. When you found Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he changed your name. He changed your character. He changed your purpose in life. And if you haven't found Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, listen to me. He wants to change your name. I remember when I was little growing up, I had an older sister named Kim. I was always Kim's little brother. Nobody expected much out of little Rusty except to get in trouble. I remember in second grade, they gave me a hearing test. It was the only test I passed all year long. Afterward, the teacher grabbed me by my little skinny arms and she shook me. She'd have gotten in trouble for that today. And she looked in my face and she said, you can hear me, you're just not listening. So I wasn't the one that people expected, but as God worked in my life, he gave me new names. He gave me the name of husband. He gave me the name of father. He gave me the name of pastor. He even gave me the name Pappy, my favorite name in the world. God wants to change your name just like he changed theirs. Well, if we look on to Genesis chapter 18, the Lord returned with two others to talk to Abraham. And in verse 10, it says, one of the guests was the Lord out of those three. And he said, I'll come back about this time next year. And when I do, Sarah will already have a son. Whoo! He's 99. She's not much behind him. And God makes his promise. Not just that one day, but he said, it's going to happen before I come back in a year. Now, Sarah was behind Abraham, listening at the entrance of her tent. Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah well past the age of having children. So she laughed. How many remember that? Sarah laughed and said to herself, now that I'm worn out and my husband is old, will I really know such happiness? Verse 13, the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Does she doubt that she can have a child in her old age? I am the Lord. There is nothing too difficult for me. I'll come back next year. At this time, I promised. And Sarah will already have a son. Excuse me. Sarah was so frightened, and she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But God said, yes, you did. Now, if we go back to chapter 17 and Abraham's reaction to the promise that God made him back there, Genesis 17:17. Abraham bowed with his face to the ground and thought, I am almost 100 years old. How can I become a father? And Sarah is 90. How can she have a child? So he started laughing. Face to the ground, laughing. Both Abraham and Sarah laughed at God's promise. But why did Sarah get in trouble and Abraham didn't? Oh, he's just hard on women. Why did God give Sarah a bad time and not Abraham? I believe Paul answered this question in his letter to the Romans as he taught on faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. We're going to be taking a look at this scripture. It says, God promised Abraham a lot of descendants. And when it all seemed hopeless, how many of you have ever had a situation, or maybe you're going through it now, that you thought, man, this seems hopeless. Seems hopeless. And when it all seemed hopeless, Abraham still had faith in God and became the ancestor of many nations. Abraham's faith, even though, you remember the story where Jesus healed a man and he said, I see men as trees, and he had to be touched again? Or remember when the man was asked if you have faith and he says, yes, I believe, but help my unbelief. That struggle that's within me, I believe. That's where Abraham was. Abraham's faith never became weak. Not even when he was nearly 100 years old. He knew he was almost dead and his wife Sarah could not have children. But Abraham never doubted or questioned God's promise. His faith made him strong, and he gave all the credit to God. Abraham was certain that God could do what he had promised. There's a difference. Sarah heard the promise and she said, I could never be used in that way. You ever felt that way? Abraham heard the promise and he thought, without God, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. There were two different kinds of laughters. The laughter of unbelief and the laughter of incredible expectation. And we as the children of God need to have an incredible expectation of Him and what He's able to do and what He desires to do. This morning, I want us to understand that God has incredible things to give to us. And as the musician comes, as we come close to the closing, Abraham still wanted his son, Ishmael, to be born of Hagar, his wife's servant, to be blessed. And he asked God to do that. And God agreed, but that didn't take away from God's promise. You know what? God even has a sense of humor. Because in Genesis 17:19, God answered, no, you and Sarah will have a son. His name will be Isaac, and I will make an everlasting promise to him and his descendants. Does anybody know what Isaac means? Laughter. Laughter. God saw what was going on. He was participating in it. He knew that Sarah had laughed because of disbelief. Abraham laughed because without God, it was impossible. But the potential. Let me tell you something. I've had times in my life where God did things and all I could do was laugh. I remember the day when I was driving in my truck in Ohio in to meet with one of my best friends. And Dave Reaver had just talked to us about coming on staff. And I began thinking, how in the world could little Rusty, that nobody thought anything would become of him, could be asked by a man like Dave Reaver and a ministry like Reaver Ministries to come and play a part and be able to minister to the veterans, the active military, the first responders, to be able to speak into the lives of teachers that are going to be going to Vietnam and around the world teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember as I drove my truck with tears running down my face, I was laughing, saying, God, how can this be? And this morning, I want you to know, I'm nobody special. Well, I am. I tell people I'm God's favorite child. He doesn't love anybody more than he loves me. But the secret to that is you're God's favorite child because he doesn't love anybody more than he loves you. This morning, God has an incredible gift that he wants to give to you. Some of you have been serving him for years and you've had that in your heart. You've known in the past that he has spoken to you and said, I want to do this, but you haven't seen it come to pass. Some of you have been praying for family members. Some of you have been praying for health. Some of you have been praying for finances for an extended period of time, and you know God has told you that he's going to do something. He's going to meet that need. Let me tell you, he wants to meet it and surpass it because he's got a good gift for you. This morning, I want you to close your eyes with me. And I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak and to stir up that gift within you, that reminder of the promises that God has made. There are people here that God has told you he's going to pour a miracle into your life. The Holy Spirit has reminded you of some of the prayer requests that you've prayed fervently, but you've slipped away from and even forgotten about. He wants me to tell you that there's a gift that's ready for you. If you're ready to receive it, I'd like to ask everyone here to stand with me if you would. Only you know what that gift is. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you've received him, but you haven't been living the way you should be living. You haven't been in close communion with him. And you want to see that fixed. You know that that's what God wants. Maybe it's a relationship that's been broken. Or maybe it's a relationship that you don't have yet that you're looking for. Maybe it's healing in your mind or your emotions, past hurts. Or maybe it's a healing in your body. Maybe it's a healing in your finances. This Christmas, everyone gets a gift. I was never an Oprah fan, but I guess that's her thing. You get something, and you get something, and you get something. Well, let me tell you today, better than anything Oprah ever gave away, you get something, and you get something, and you get something, and you get something. If you're ready to receive it this morning. I'm going to be closing with a word of prayer. I want to make these altars open. If you want to be prayed with, you come down and find a place. We'll pray with you. If you want to receive right where you're at, you can receive where you're at. But this morning, the Holy Spirit is in this place. He has gifts to give to each one of you. This morning, I would beg you, Be ready to receive. Position yourself to receive. God has something special for you this morning. Father, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the gift of Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Father, I speak right now words of life. Each one in this place is valuable to you. Each one in this place has great worth in your eyes. And you've given them gifts in the past, but you have something special today. Father, help us to posture ourselves, as it were, to receive from you. Lord, I speak renewed marriages right now in Jesus' name. Prodigals who are away from you, Father, and away from family, I speak them back into closeness. Father, the words that doctors have said that have been heart-wrenching, Lord, you're our healer. I speak healing in Jesus' name.